I've made such statements as this or similar statements. Did you know that the houseboat business is booming in our nation? You know why? Because people, knowledgeable people in this country are aware of what's going to happen in a few years. Don't you think for a minute, brother, that when this crowd that says we want a handout, 50,000 last week, wasn't it, in Washington, saying we want jobs, and the crowd that'll rob on the street corners or break into your house to get enough money for dope, and that's what's causing most of our break-ins and our robberies in this generation in this area. When they get hungry and they don't get their food stamps, this Bolshevik generation of ours is going to get food. And by the way, the crowd that won't work tonight and they want their food from Washington, they're not going to work when Washington goes broke either. And that's one reason, boy, there's nothing that stirs me anymore to anger and disgust than to hear them talk about, let's get rid of our guns. Brother, if we get rid of our guns, pray tell me, what are we going to do when our houses, or march on our houses, and break in our houses, and have rioting in the streets? What in the world are we going to do to protect our family? And by the way, the Constitution gives us the right to have guns. We'll be registering these dirty communists instead of these guns. But I mean, we face some tough times, brother. I don't believe it. Hang around. Just hang around. I mean, already, it's not safe to walk down the street in any town around here. But tonight, we got policemen all around this place, in and out of this auditorium. Why? Would you have thought 25 years ago you'd ever have to have a policeman at the church house? Would you have thought 25 years ago that you'd have to have policemen in a church parking lot? Keep our young ladies from being attacked and assaulted in the church parking lot? Brother, if it gets as much worse on the streets and in our homes as far as safety is concerned, in the next 10 years, as it has in the last 10 years, we all better have guns in our houses, loaded and ready to shoot. Now, the boat business, why are these rich men buying boats? They're buying boats because they want to take their families to the water, the ocean, when the riots come. I've forgotten the name of that ship. What's that big ship some rich man bought recently? Was it the Elizabeth? Huh? I'm not sure. Some gal's name. But it was a big ship. A fellow bought for $13 million. He's making sort of like condominiums out of it. So that... And he's selling these things for thousands and tens of thousands of dollars, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the size, for rich people. So when the riots come, they can get on the ship, get on the ocean, and be safe from the hungry rioters. Cabins are being bought way out in the remotest areas. The dried food business, as I said the other night, and the food that will last a long time, you can store a long time, that kind of business is multiplying in this country. Now, I hate to think, really I mean this, when you stop and realize these girls tonight are not safe to walk down the block in front of this church. And the truth is, there's no sidewalk in this area where these girls are safe tonight. Not one. Not one. Now, it's going to come. I hate to say it. But these young ladies tonight are going to, and many of us live to see it, these young ladies are going to live to see the day when they're going to run for their lives. And their lives will be in danger. And they'll see mobs of people, just like the looting in Watts, and just like the looting in the Detroit riots. Well, they'll see in your street and my street mobs of people running and shooting and looting and breaking down our doors and climbing through our windows to get our food. And while they'll do it, they'll rape our daughters and our wives and our girls, and take everything we have and loot our houses. Now, you mark it down, brother. Listen, this nation is not going to point its finger at God Almighty like she has, and point its finger at God's Word and deny its Word and live like pagan and heathen animals and get by with it. There's a God in heaven, and we're about to find it out. We're just about to find it. Listen, the Bible says it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day. Well, pray tell me what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire fell down from God out of heaven and destroyed them. And the Bible says it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than the more knowledgeable nations later on. Now, you better be thinking what you're going to do. Our text a while ago comes from the story of the Assyrians. Our brother mentioned it a while ago in his talk. The Assyrians. These were terrible days during the reign of Hezekiah. The Assyrian army, as I said this morning, had desolated Israel, and now the people of Judah were scared to death. Famine was there. And by the way, you don't have to go outside this auditorium to find hungry folks tonight. No, you don't. You don't have to go outside this room tonight to find people who had nothing to eat today. If I knew who they were, I'd feed them. And if you don't have anything to eat, you come to my office and I'll see what you get. Now, I won't make you television set payment. Don't come in there for that. And I won't, if you've got a color television in your living room and you haven't gotten rid of it yet, and I'm not saying you ought to get rid of it, but I'm not going to feed you while you're watching color television. I'm trying to say that hunger is here and rioting is almost here. You know, one of the biggest businesses in this world tonight is the burglar alarm business. Fear gripped the nation. But God told them that there was a way of safety. Now, the strange thing about it is this. Christian people ought to have enough sense to know that the way of safety is not with the burglar alarm. Now, I'm not against burglar alarm. I think they're good, and it looks like I'm going to have to get one at the house, but I'm not against them. And I'm not against protecting yourself. I think we ought to do it. But, brother, in the final analysis, all the burglar alarms, all the guns, and all the boats, and all the ships, and all the dried food, and all the food that's stored is not going to help us. We're going to have divine intervention from our God if we have protection. Now, God came down to these people, and he said, look, he said, there's a safety I'll give you. And he says in verse 16 of Isaiah 33, it talks about what kind of safety God's going to give certain people. He shall dwell on high. Now, what does that mean? That means that the people who meet God's conditions, I'll get down to the conditions after a while, the people who meet God's conditions, when the famine comes, and it's talking about the famine, the rioting, they have the same conditions we have today. The folks that meet God's conditions are going to be protected by God. And it says, he shall dwell on high. Now, during times in these days, during times of warfare, people would run to the high spots. For the enemy could not come as easily to the high spots. But somebody says, what if the enemy scales the heights, maybe gets a ladder and scales the heights? Okay, it goes on to say, he shall dwell on high, his place of defense. God will give him a place of defense. What is it? A mountain, which he can climb, a high spot away from the enemy, but more than that, on that high spot, a place of defense. But somebody says, how shall the enemy be kept out? It goes on to say, shall place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. But somebody, okay, so you've got a place up on top of the hill, and you've got some rocks defending you, you've got a place of defense and a place of safety. Well, the enemy will starve you out. Well, God thought you'd say that, so he went on to say, bread shall be given him. Whom? Person that meets the condition. I'll give them to you in just a few minutes. But somebody said, well, you heard you get your water. The Bible says, his waters shall be sure. Now listen to me. There is a way that God's people can be cared for during the riots, the famines, and whatever our future holds. Now, young people, if you ever listen to a sermon in your life, you listen to me, you're going to be right in the middle of it. I mean, in a few years, you're going to have little girls and boys of your own. It just won't be long. I was looking around tonight and seeing some of the young couples here, and I was thinking, good night, how fast time flies. I was watching the folks who are tonight sitting as married couples, and just seemed like yesterday they were teenagers like you are tonight. And I was watching many of our couples with little children beside them that just a few days ago I was pastoring them, and they were singing in the groups like you sang in tonight. And it won't be long till you have your own little children. Now look, in God's dear name, you don't have to starve, and you don't have to be killed, and you don't have to be endangered. God, there is a way. There are conditions that you can meet where God will give you a place on high, a defense of munitions of rocks. He will feed you with bread and give you water to drink. Now then the question comes, what do you have to do to have that kind of protection? What do you have to do to have that kind of fortress? Now the Lord gives us plainly and simply, and it's so simple it's almost unbelievable. Look back to verse 15. Let's see what kind of man this is. Let's go back to verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Now there it is. When the riots come, who shall dwell? The sinners are afraid. Hypocrites are fearful. Who shall dwell when the devouring fire comes? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? What does it mean is this. When the burning comes, and the rioting, listen, our cities are going to be set on fire. We'll have our houses burned by looters and rioters. Why, there are enough people in did you hear Mr. Kirvin tonight say he predicts within 10 years 50% of all the people in America will be on food stamps? Now, what does that mean? That means by the way, brother, our uncle's about gone. I mean, he's about had it. He's $90 billion in debt tonight. And I don't care who we elect, brother, he's not going to get us out of it. We're to the point of no return. Mr. Ford is one of the most confused men in the whole world. I mean, you look at him. Watch him talk. I mean, his eyes don't have any security in them at all. I mean, there's no, this is the answer. None. If America ever needed somebody who knows where he's going to stand up and lead this country with assurance and confidence, it's tonight. But we don't have anybody on the scene. Who's going to do it? Huh? Well, Mr. McGovern's got a bigger case of the hiccups than Mr. Ford has. Mr. McGovern can't even McGovern his own self. I would say, well, hey, who's going to do it? Who? Tell me. Who's going to do it? We got our Congress that's tied to hands. Listen, our country is set up just exactly like a liberal church. The deacon board runs the preacher. Same thing exactly. I mean, Mr. Ford is the pastor. And he gets up to speak, he's got to check with his board to see if he can say what he's going to say. He gets up and he says, we will stand beside our lives. Won't we, Congress? Well, brother, he happens to be the commanding officer of the United States Army. I mean, my old sergeant never acted like that. I mean, he had more decisiveness than the President of the United States does now. Teddy Roosevelt! I wish we had a Teddy Roosevelt right now. Man, I wish we... That's the last great president we've had. Except, pardon me, one other, and that was Eleanor. Teddy Roosevelt had more character than all the presidents since him have had put together. But anyway, what are we going to do? You say, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to trust the Social Security. Neither social nor secure. Truth is, you know why they raised the Social Security? Huh? So they can pay the benefits they owe now. That money you're putting in, brother, is not being saved for you. I got news for you. That money you're putting in is going to the bank right quick to cover the hot check that Uncle wrote last month. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. I wish I could scare you to death. I wish I could let you know the awful, horrible, deplorable condition our country faces. I think we're going to have a little rally right now before the election of 76. Who's going to run? Mr. Kennedy hasn't got time to run. He's too busy courting the gals. He can't run except run around. I mean, he's got things going now to make Chappaquiddick look like a little Sunday school picnic. He's too busy. I mean, he hasn't got time to get a haircut. Who's on the scene? Tell me. Tell me. And nobody on the scene. The time has come, folks, when you can't trust the United States government to take care of you much longer. You say, well, I've got my retirement plan. That retirement plan, when this crash comes, brother, that retirement plan won't be worth a dime to you. I got money in the bank. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be unkind about banks, but I recall when banks went under. Except there's one difference, brother, in the Depression now. Listen to me now. The Depression we're facing and what we had in 1929, 30, 31, 32, 33. We had some character then. Our nation, almost everybody in our nation believed this book then. A liberal was really, a fellow didn't believe this Bible that stood behind a pulpit, while most folks had never seen one. And in practically every denomination, I mean the Methodists back in those days were having old-fashioned Holy Ghost camp meeting revival.
That's right.
I can recall when I began preaching 25, 30 years ago, Presbyterians had revivals.
Right.
And now they have cakewalks. Bazaars. Where are the Presbyterians and the Methodists tonight? Right now! They're home watching that box. That's what they're doing. Including the pastors. I mean, you can't... Listen, listen. In 1933, our country had enough integrity and character not to loot. And if I can... Listen, we never thought about that. Mama, we didn't know about that. I wish I had, but we never thought about that. How many of you were living during the Depression and you recall how hungry you got? Raise your hand, would you please? Did you ever think about looting? Huh? Man alive, no. Who ever thought? But now, brother, the hungry people are not like the hungry folks were in 1933. No, sir. No, sir. In 1933, they begged. In 1975, they'll rob. Anybody here ever remember when the fellows came by? What we call, we used to call them tramps. Now they call them hippies. You used to call them tramps. And they'd come by and ask you for food. Anybody remember how they'd put an X out on the curb in front of the houses where they got some food? Huh? You drive down most any street, they had a curb, and you'd see an X every once in a while. You know what that X was? Huh? That's one tramp telling the next tramp, I got fed here. Now then, you can tell it with the house that's burned. Why? Listen, when you take this Bible out, then you take the Holy Spirit out, you take the only resistance to evil and wickedness and rioting there is in the whole world. And there's nothing left. It's coming. Now then, how can I dwell on high, have a place of defense, munitions of rocks, bread to be eaten, water to be drunk? How can I have it? Okay? I want you to notice in verse 15, he that walketh righteously, that's the feet, and speaketh uprightly, that's the tongue, he that despiseth the gain of oppressors, and shaketh his hands from holding a bribe, there are the hands, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, that's the ears, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Now there are five simple steps that God gives these people here so they can be protected in the time of rioting. One, get your feet right. Two, get your tongue right. Three, get your hands right. Four, get your ears right. Five, get your eyes right. And the Bible says to those people in verse 16, he that has his feet right, his tongue right, his hands right, his ears right, his eyes right, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Who? The fella who has his feet right, his tongue right, his hands right, his ears right, his eyes right. Now you listen to me. I'm going to give you a simple little outline tonight that'll save your neck one of these days. It'll feed your kids. Number one, get your feet right. Just get your feet right. You're not, listen, your feet leads you into a dirty tavern now, you're not going to have any protection at all from God in the day of the rioting. You men, God pity you. I mean, you come home from work at night and the feet that God has given you leads you into a tavern. You folks that walk into these X-rated movies and dance halls. We used to sing when I was a little boy, oh, be careful little feet where you go. Oh, be careful little feet where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful little feet where you go. Now listen to me. Listen to me. You go to these rock festivals. A fellow told me the other day. He said they're having a rock festival right beside my church. He's at pastor school. He said, now what can I do to fight it and stop it? I wrote back and said, don't stop it. Organize your people and cover that place with soul winning and witnessing. I said, pray, tell me, when will you ever have so many sinners come to see you at one time? Boy, I wish they'd have one next door to us. We'd take about 10,000 people over. And while they're singing their rock music, we'd sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. But now, listen, your feet. I was thinking about my feet. I don't have very pretty feet. I had ingrown toenails so long that the beauty of my feet has long since passed away. And Brother Vineyard has pretty feet. He likes, when he preaches, gets down on his back and holds his feet up there, stocking feet up. He says, look at my pretty feet. I preach the gospel. I got pretty feet. He does have pretty feet. Pretty big, pretty stinky, and I'll vouch for the fact he has pretty feet. I was thinking, these feet of mine have taken me in pulpits all across this land. These feet of mine have walked in airports and walked to motel rooms, and they've carried me. These feet of mine have never one time taken me to a nightclub. They've never one time taken me to a dirty place of, of entertainment. They've never one time taken me inside a house of prostitution. They've never one time taken me to an adult bookstore. They've taken me to preach the gospel, and they've taken me to carry the message of hope, and they've taken me to airports and motels and up and down church pulpits and platforms and aisles and altars all across this country. Why? I want my feet right. Why? I want to be able to be protected during the riots. That's why. But as sure as I'm standing here, some of you hobnob with the devil and run with the devil's crowd, and some young folks live like the heathen pagan folks and go to the Johnny Denver recital and all that kind of hellish kind of stuff. Oh yeah, I know he sings religious songs too. So does Red Skelton. I sort of Max Helton. Red Skelton. When a fellow sings a bunch of early rock music and has his long shaggy hair and looks like the heathen world, and the same kind of rock crowd comes to hear him that goes to hear the Beatles and all the rest of them, and he has his picture in the daily rock magazines, and there at the end of his program he says, God bless! That's just not enough to suit God. The young folks in this room tonight, right in this room, who are going to die, and your kids will die, because you've not had your feet made right with God. I was thinking when I thought about this, how many steps my feet have carried me and how many times I've walked across the country with bag in each hand. Oh boy. Yesterday I preached three times in Pennsylvania, near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I couldn't get there for the service yesterday morning in time. I couldn't get a flight yesterday morning. So I had to fly out during the Friday night. Well, I got there a little bit earlier than I thought I'd be able to get there, and I got to my room. I guess it must have been about 9 o'clock. By the time I'd just eaten a quick bite, I decided to go to bed. And at 10 o'clock, I haven't been to bed at 10 o'clock good night since my mother burped me over her shoulder. 10 o'clock. I didn't have to preach until 10:40 the next morning. I slept Friday night from 10 o'clock Friday night. My alarm didn't go off. Really, it didn't go off. You can't trust an alarm. It's only fair to say I'd pushed the button down before I went to bed on purpose, though, but it just still didn't go off. And I slept from 10 o'clock Friday night till 8:30 Saturday morning. I don't recall ever getting 10.5 hours sleep. I don't recall. I didn't even know what year it was when I woke up. You say, boy, did you feel good? I have felt lousy ever since Saturday morning. I mean, I've been dragging. Why? I slept too much. I sort of like Russell Anderson tells a story about the rich man, millionaire. And said, guy walked up and said, put him up, give me your money. He said, I won't do it. And he shot him right through the heart. Didn't hurt him a bit. Right through the heart. Bullet right through the heart. Didn't bother him a bit. Didn't even bleed. Hit the back wall, ricocheted off the back wall, came back, hit him in the pocketbook, and he dropped dead immediately. And I mean, I'm sleepier when I do sleep than when I don't sleep. I hadn't had that much sleep in two nights in a row, and I don't know how long. Yeah, we get weary, but bless God, our feet are taking us on a mission for God. And you folks that hobnob in the devil's crowd and go to these taverns and nightclubs and, yes, even these country clubs. One of these days when the riots come and they come down your street and they decide to loot your house and rape your daughters and you mark it down, you'll wish you'd listened to a preacher when he told you in Isaiah 33 that you better get your feet right. But there's something else it says. It says, who shall dwell on high? Who shall be cared for in that day? Okay, it says, he that speaketh uprightly. If you want God to protect you in the coming riot, you've got to get your tongue right. Get your tongue right. What am I saying? Go ahead and tell your dirty jokes, but don't expect God to take care of you when the riots come. He won't do it. Go ahead and spread your gossip. Go ahead. Talk about the preacher. Talk about the choir director. Talk about the principal. Talk about the college administrators. Talk about the teacher. Talk about your neighbor. Talk about your friend. Go ahead, gossip. But you long-tongued brethren and sistern, when God comes to that, when the writing comes and God comes to protect His own, God is not duty-bound at all to protect you because your tongue is not right. Go ahead and curse. Criticize. Throw your temper tantrums. I was thinking, I don't have much voice anymore. I mean, I don't quite mean that. I don't have the voice I used to have. I was adding up last night. I was amazed. I have preached over 29,000 sermons in my life. People are always giving me things from my sinuses. Brother, that's not it. I doubt there's a preacher alive preached 29,000 sermons. 29,000 times. You'll forgive me, but nobody ever heard this voice say a dirty word. You'll forgive me, but it's been years since anybody heard this tongue set in judgment on anybody else. You'll forgive me, but it's been many, many years since this tongue has been guilty of spreading any gossip. You say, you must be a pretty good Christian. No, I'm not. I'm a scared Christian. I want God to take care of me. I mean, I want God to feed me and give me water to drink when there's no food and no water. I want God's help. And you listen to me, you listen, you listen, you listen. God Almighty is the one that's going to take care of people when the rioting comes and the famine comes. There's not enough policemen in this country to take care of all of us. Usually I'll call the police. They won't be there. They'll be home protecting their own cupboard. That's one reason why we ought not to give up our guns. You say, you must be for violence. No, I'm for keeping violence down. You talk about violence. You've never seen the violence we'll have. You say, well, how's we can enforce the law and nobody will have guns. What an enforced prohibition. Only folks that will have guns will be the crooks and the politicians. I could have just said the crooks, maybe. But your gun's not going to protect you. And the police are not going to protect you. And your burglar alarm, there is going to come a day when, look, we're going to find out one of these days whether or not God takes care of His own. Yeah, we are. Get your tongue right. Get your tongue right. Use your tongue for good instead of bad. Use your tongue for God instead of the devil. Use your tongue for building up instead of tearing down. Some of you folks here tonight, today you sat in judgment against somebody else. Why don't you learn to be quiet? Why don't you learn to realize that we're not supposed to judge other people, nor criticize, nor gossip? It's wicked, vile, satanic, hellish, demon possession is what it is. One reason we made this altar so much longer, this building, so some of you ladies can get your tongues on the altar. One lady came down and said, Pastor, she said, I got everything on the altar except my tongue. I can't get my tongue on the altar. He said, it's 20 feet long, but if you need a bigger altar to get your tongue on it, we'll increase the length of the altar. How tragic it is. You telephone talkers. Somebody ought to come and rip the telephone out of your wall. You talk about, and you folks that sit around and loaf in God's dear name with a world that needs encouraging, why in the world do you have a poisoned tongue? You say, well, what, so what? I'll tell you so what. One of these days you're going to starve because you've used your tongue for the devil and not for God, and God's going to say, get out of my shelter. Get out of my fortress. Don't you come in here. Your tongue's not right. That's what it says right there. Sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. There's the third thing. It says, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes. Get your hands right. Get your hands right. Person whose hands aren't right will not be right with God, and in that day God will not take care of you. There's something else that says back up before that, too. It says, he that despises the gain of oppression, shaking his hands, holding of bribes, stop with his ears, his hands right. God didn't give you these hands to play cards with. God didn't give you these hands to wrap around a beer bottle. God didn't give you those hands to wrap around a cigarette. God didn't give you those hands to turn the pages of a Cosmopolitan magazine. God didn't give you those hands to flip the pages of a Playboy magazine. God gave you those hands to use for work. God gave you those hands to use to turn the pages of this blessed book. God gave you those hands with which to do right. And if your hands are not right, that means every one of you that robs God, you have money in your billfold that belongs to God. If you don't give God 10% of your income, you mark it down. You're a God robber. Your hands are guilty of robbery just as much as if you'd gone over here to Hoosier State Bank or down to Calumet National Bank and broken in and robbed. You're just as much a robber and a thief, and you have on your hands dirty, bloody money, and you wait someday. You just dare wait someday till the riots come and down the street they come and they're looting the houses and raping the girls and burning the houses. And you'll flee for safety, but you won't find it. Why? You're a God robber. That's why you won't find it. Now you better listen to me. We have not yet begun to see the deterioration of this nation. The day is going to come, and I'm convinced of it. We'll have to have armed guards, every church that preaches the Bible, have armed guards at every door. And it won't be long. It won't be long. You look at what's going on in our nation. You look at the kidnappings. The one out here just the other day. Or as we know, a preacher missing out here in Sherrville. Brother, we're headed for some tough times. And little Penny Annie, God robbing, rock music listening, Playboy magazine reading, television serial watching, Wednesday night sleeping, that kind of stuff is not going to give you a promise of God's protection of you and of yours. Get your feet right. Get your tongue right. Get your hands right. And then there's another one. It says down in verse 15, the last part, that stoppeth his ears from hearing from a hearing of blood. Get your ears right. As sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, listen to me, kids. Hey, teenagers, listen to me. As sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, some of you smart alecks and liars that signed a statement at Hammond Baptist High School that you wouldn't listen to rock music, and you're a dirty liar if you do. I mean a dirty liar. You've lied to God Almighty, and you mark it down. You just mark it down. One of these days, you're going to grow up and have a family, and the riot's going to come, and you're going to starve, and your family's going to starve because your ears were not right with God. You wait and see. Albert, you just wait and see. God didn't make your ears to hear Egyptian communistic music. You say, well, I like it. You think you're supposed to do everything that you like to do? There's several reasons why you shouldn't. In the first place, it's against the rule of the school, and you ought to be decent enough to keep rules. If you're not going to keep them, get your little carcass and your duds and get out of the school. You see, you don't have a good spirit. I have a good enough spirit to believe you ought not to be a dirty liar. That's how a good spirit I have. They wouldn't do it if some of you moms and dads had some G-U-T-S. First time your kid gets that dirty rock music, and there's no other kind of music, rock music, but dirty rock music. Started in hell by way of communism, In 1917, the Russians said they would destroy America by the certain kind of music, and they're doing it. First time your kids do it, you grab them and shake them right hard. And I want to say this tonight. I'm tired of our kids disobeying their parents. Brother, when one of the kids at our house gets to a place where he or she will not obey his or her dad, I don't care if she's 13 or 14 or 15 or he's 13, 15 or 16, out of the house he goes. He can starve, he can get in the rain, he's going to obey me or he's going. He said, kids are uncontrollable. No, the parents haven't got any guts. He said, I don't believe you ought to use the word guts. Then don't ever use it. Most of you wouldn't have to use it. You haven't got any.
Then what can I do with my daughter? My son.
And you daughters and sons that are rebellious against your moms and dads, you ought to hit this mourner's bench and get right with God. You're not worth the powder it takes to blow you up. And you mark it down one of these days when God Almighty lets the wrath fall on this nation and the looters and rioters fill our streets and our houses are burned and all we have is gone. God look down and say, don't you look to me. I'll not protect you. Your ears were not right. Your heart was not right. Your hands were not right. Your tongue was not right. Your feet were not right with me. Now, you better listen to me. Whether you believe it or not, this old book's true. And God is not bound to take care of anybody that does not meet his conditions. Get your feet right. Get your tongue right. Sing songs that are decent. Talk of things that are right. Speak of things that are right. Listen to things that are right. Get your ears right with God. What do you listen to on the radio? What kind of talk do you listen to? I've gotten up and walked out of hundreds of meetings where preachers were sitting around talking because these ears are not going to listen to dirty talk about other preachers. They're not going to do it. No, sir. No, sir. Not only is this tongue not going to be used to criticize God's men, but these ears are not going to be used to listen to criticism of God's men. I'll not do it. I'll get up and walk out. I've walked out of meetings with some of the biggest preachers in this country, far bigger than I, and far older than I, and far greater than I, but I'm not going to listen to that kind of garbage. These ears are going to be used to listen to decent things. What kind of jokes do you listen to? These feet have traveled many a step for God, and this tongue has spoken many a word for God. And these ears have been dedicated a long time to God, and these hands have given and given and given and given. My hand is not like this. My hand is like this. You get your hand right. You get your feet right. You get your tongue right. You get your ears right. And then lastly, you get your eyes right. God's not going to take care of you in the writing days if you read dirty magazines. He's not going to do it. You go down to these little magazine places and pick up these dirty magazines, and practically every one of them has an article on sex nowadays. You go home and read it and have your fantasies and have your evil thoughts and picture yourself in the arms of one of those good-for-nothing, sorry, sensuous devils, and then you wonder why God's not going to take care of you. You mark it down. God won't take care of you in the coming day. No, He won't. Guys! I'd be willing safely to say that the biggest sin in this room tonight is what you watch on television. Hey, kids, listen to me while I'm preaching. I'd be willing to say that in First Baptist Church of Hammond, fundamental, separated, best soul-winning church alive, hands down the best church in the world today, I'd be willing to say that half of you watch movies on television. Hypocrite. Backslider. Get your eyes right. You say, why? Good night, I want you to eat when everybody else is hungry. I want you to be in that fortress up on top of the hill. I want you to be protected by God and cared for by God. And you won't do it watching dirty movies on television. I dare say the biggest sin in this house tonight among you ladies is watching those sensuous little afternoon soap operas on television. I know what you do sometime, fellas. If you have a day off, you just stay home and just turn about 10 minutes on those little garbage things on and just see what it's all about. Filthy and as rotten as the hell that spawned it. I'm talking about the doctors and the nurses. I'm talking about Secret Storm. Don't you laugh while I'm preaching against hellish sin. Amen. I'm talking about those little things that come on at 2 and 2.15 and 2.30 and 2.45 and 1.30 and 1 o'clock in the afternoon that are doing as much to corrupt the decency and wreck the morals of the women of our nation as any of the 10 things I know. In God's name, get your eyes right. One of these days you're going to look at a little child that's starving to death. And then you remember one night Brother House taught you from the Word of God that if your eyes aren't right, God will protect you when the riots come. Some of you men can't walk down the street without examining every measurement of every lady you see. And some of you ladies are revealing far too much of too many of your measurements too. And brother, right in the cell, right beside the rapist, ought to be the lady that exposed half her body so he stirred his passions and put him in the jail cell. You ought to be in the cell right next to him. You little mini-skirted, thigh-showing harlots. You say, well, I am not a harlot. Well, then quit wearing a uniform. And then you fellas that use your eyes as nothing more than examining the bodies of women. There's something holier than that. But you say, Brother Hiles, I have an unusual temptation toward that, all bosh. Every man has an unusual temptation toward that. It's as normal as 2 plus 2 is 4 and getting hungry before a meal. It's normal! Every red-blooded man, I said to a bunch of preachers yesterday, I was preaching to a convention, a Sunday school convention, and practically every girl there, Brother Vineyard, looked like a little old mini-skirted harlot. And I said, you preachers, in God's name, why don't you go home and shake your puppet a little bit and stomp your foot and holler and get some clothes on these girls? And one fella said, well, what's wrong with miniskirts? I said, go get a doctor's check you up. You're sick. Either you're a liar or you're sick. There's not a red-blooded he-man in this room tonight doesn't know what's wrong with miniskirts. Same thing is wrong with you girls that wear decent length skirts, letting them see up your dress while you sit down. Hey, young folks, listening back there! Same thing. I'm watching these girls tonight, how they sit. Nothing wrong, no difference in wearing a miniskirt and wearing a long skirt and letting everybody see up your dress. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm shocked at what you preach about. Well, you may get shockeder than this before it's over. You won't have to be shocked if you wouldn't shock me. I can walk down the hall in Hammond Baptist High School and look in the classroom and see a bunch of girls that don't even know how to sit. They ought to be kicked out of school. God didn't make your legs to show every old man on the street or in the hallway of a school. God made you be modest and sit modestly. And God didn't make the eyes of you men to examine every female that walks down the street. But you say, I have a hard time not doing it. Every man does. But there's the Holy Spirit of God, and there's the Word of God, and there's victory over that kind of garbage if you'll just claim it from God. You don't have to be filthy-minded. You don't have to have dirty eyes. You don't have to watch every step that females make and look up and down like it's a hog judging contest. You don't have to do that. Well, I admit most of them that wear that kind of clothes look like hogs. Don't expect God to take care of you. Say, I'm the best friend you got tonight. You're mad, but I'm the best friend you got. I'm trying to get you fed when the famine comes and keep you protected when the riots come. And you mark it down. You have no promise of divine protection unless your hands are right, your tongue is right, your feet are right, your ears are right, and your eyes are right. Apart from that, none whatsoever. Somebody asked the other day, said, what age would you be if you could be any age you wanted to be? I said, 48. They said, why? I said, because that's when you're your handsomest and strongest and most intelligent. And you can tell by that, I'm already getting senile. 48. I sort of feel sorry for you kids. I really mean that. Listen, I'm going to close now. I'm going to close. I don't know how many times I'm going to close. I'm going to start closing right now. But listen to me. September 25th, 1926. I was born. Folks that lived before me gave me a pretty decent country. They gave me a country where it's wrong and against the law to drink liquor. That's what they gave me. The folks that handed me a life gave me an America where preachers believe the Bible. They gave me an America where a man's word normally was as good as his signature, and a man's word was his bond. They gave me a country where I could witness and be free. They gave me a country that hated communism and didn't invite its demons to speak on college campuses. They gave me a country where communism was a dirty word. They gave me a country where when you said communism, everybody cringed. Now, kids, I'm sorry about this, but we're not going to give you that kind. I wish I could say it was as good to hand over to you as it was when we got it, but it's not. It's just a pretty sorry old country. It's best in the world, but it's still just about to go. And I'll be honest with you, I have to sort of stretch the point sometime to say it's the best in the world. There are countries that are safer than ours. There are countries that are more Christian than ours. There are countries that are more decent than ours. There are still countries where you can't wear shorts in public on the streets. There are still countries where in public places you can't even wear slacks. There are still countries where you can't gamble. But about 8 years ago, I decided to spend the rest of my life trying to give it the best I could. I looked at these faces in this singing group tonight, innocent and sweet, and I hope with all my heart, pure, decent. I wish I could tell you tonight that it's going to be like it was when I was your age. But I can't do that. All I can tell you is that a few of us are doing the best we can to make it as good as we can. I don't play much anymore, and I love to play. And the reason I don't, because I think these kids ought to have a chance. And that's why I preach hard to you. A lot of you folks that break the rules at school, and by the way, it's the same kids all the time. Same kids all the time. We'll have a meeting next Saturday. All you kids look at me. We'll have a meeting next Saturday. Some of you folks not looking. You're the ones in trouble all the time. All the time. And Mr. Pash will bring the list of troublemakers. It's the same old name. Same old names. Mr. O'Clair will bring his list of troublemakers. Same old names. Same ones. Over and over again. Now, kids, if you respect your own hide and your own future, you better give your life to God. Because you got a mighty tough world to live in. By the time David Hiles is the age his dad is now, if he has not been martyred, it'll surprise me. You young preachers in Hiles Anderson College, sure as I'm standing here, I predict most of you will either compromise or be killed for your preaching in your lifetime. I have no doubt about it. None. It's a pretty gloomy world to face. In fact, there's only one bright place in the whole picture. And that is every promise in this book is still true. Amen. Every promise is true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Still there. Still there. It'll be there, son, when you're 48 years of age and your dad's gone to heaven. It'll still be there. It'll be there, kids, when Brother Hiles is only a memory to you. It'll be there when other folks will sit on this platform and you'll talk about, there used to be a fellow here who directed our buses named Vineyard. You'll say, remember when Brother Hiles was here? Remember that? Remember when Brother Hiles, remember the days we used to enjoy when Brother Hiles was here? You'll live to say that. Brother Hiles is gone. Matthew 6:33 will still be in the Bible. And God's promises still be here. And you can always depend on God. Amen. To take care of you if you'll do what you ought to do. Now let's just face it. Are your feet right tonight? Huh? Is your tongue right? There are ladies in this room tonight, 75 years of age. You ought to come down and kneel at a creaky altar. And just let your arthritic knees pain for a while. And ask God to forgive you for your wicked tongue. There are men in this room tonight, 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years of age, ought to come down the old... I mean somebody ought to come besides college kids and teenagers for a change. There ought to be some men, strong laymen, who work in a steel mill, who live for God for a while. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to give these feet to God. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to give this tongue and these lips to God. I'm going to let Him have these hands. And I'm going to let Him have these ears. And I'm going to let Him have these eyes. Tongue that's spoken about Jesus more than any name on the face of the world or eternity. Eyes that have
shed as many tears as any eyes, I'm sure, alive. I want God to have them. I have an idea these ears have heard more sad stories. And this tongue has tried to comfort more people than probably any ears or tongue in the whole world. I want God to have them. I want God to have these hands. I want God to have these feet. I'm going to ask you 5 questions and I'm through. Listen. Are your feet right with God? Is your tongue right with God? Are your hands right with God? Are your ears right with God? Are your eyes right with God? Unless they are, you better have a mighty big lock on your door and a mighty loud burglar alarm and an arsenal of guns and an attic full of stored food. Because when the day comes, your God will laugh at your calamity and mock at your predicament. And you'll say, oh God, help me, God! And God will say, where were you when I needed help? Lord, Lord, hear me! Bend your ear! Now you bent your ear toward dirty radio and dirty rock music and dirty gossip, didn't you? And the Bible says he'll mock at your calamity. You'll say, oh Lord, hear me! He'll say, oh Lord, hear me! Oh God, protect me! Oh God, protect me! He'll mock at you. Mock at you! And be in derision and laugh at you. Why? Because you didn't believe this book when God said he wouldn't take care of you if you didn't take care of him. Let us pray. Now, Lord, you know far better than I do the mess we're in and where we're headed. And you know far better than I do that just being saved is not going to be enough. It'll get us to heaven, but it won't get us protection on earth. Now, I just told them what you said to the people of God in age gone by who are facing the same predicament we face tonight. Help the folks to believe it. I pray tonight that rock records will be broken when people get home. I pray that dirty magazines and dirty books will be thrown out the door. I pray that dirty television programs will never be seen again. I pray that gossiping tongues will be laid on this altar and ears that hear tales and gossip and criticism will be laid on the altar. And I pray that feet who've led people astray shall be brought back to God and laid on this altar. And I pray that hands that have done wickedly and eyes that have looked on somebody else's test paper. And I pray that wicked hands and eyes and ears and feet and heart tongues shall be made right in this service tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Is your tongue right with God? Are your feet right with God? Are your hands right with God? Are your ears right with God? Are your eyes right with God? I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, tonight, I know we face a dark...